Video game bang, video game bang, video game bang. Mega Ran. Live from the sack, it's the live, it's a fact. I'm putting rhymes on this track to put my guys on the map. Updates, geek news, tech talk, and reviews. They can summarize it so you ain't gotta breeze through. Listen once and you're forever fans. And I'm not saying it because their theme song features Mega Ran, the ultimate source of all geek media. Other podcasts, they just don't match up. Need proof? You can check the archives and catch up. Stats off the chain, we have rearranged the game. It'll never be the same. Now it's time to feel the
bang. Bang! What is up, pizzas? Bang. Video Game Bang is back. A day late, but worth the wait. Joining me on the show this week, we have Lexi, Emma, and Curtis, and we have a lot to catch up on. The world is a scary, scary place right now. As you guys know, we are still doing the quarantine cast, doing our part, washing our hands. But she's back, and there's a lot going on, and there's a lot to address in her life. So we're going to save her for last. Let's start out with Curtis. What's going on, man? How you been?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. You know, just, getting out a little bit more these days, not a whole lot. I'm still taking my precautions, like Corey said, still washing my hands and all that good stuff. But for the most part, just been gaming, streaming, trying to stay busy, trying to stay positive. That's been I'm reading comics, me and my comics,
reading those comic books. How has the COVID been affecting those comic books? Are they still have there been any delays and things like that?
There have been delays, since we talked about, now about a month or so more back with Diamond, the main distributor, basically the monopoly, doing like the shutdown. Well, technically they kind of got shut down by the state, but they were shut down, so they stopped shipping comics out. We had two new distributors come along. They started shipping out stuff for DC, and since that, within the last 2 weeks, Diamond has started shipping comics again. So comic shops are now getting Marvel and DC books. This was the first week for Marvel books coming out, and the world is a much better place now. So
all right, good to
things
know.
Are getting better.
Oblivion Comics and Coffee, one of our sponsors, their doors are kind of back open. They got to do the whole delivery curbside pickup thing going. So if you're in the Sacramento area and that's one of the things you're missing is your premium coffee, you can go check out Oblivion Comics Coffee. Emma, do you know how they're doing the pickup? Are they like DoorDash or which one are they?
They have like DoorDash. I don't know if they have DoorDash. They have like Grubhub and stuff. Basically you order and then you'll pick up at the door. And then they have opened up some of their outside tables. So like you can sit outside and eat.
There you go.
They also have an online storefront. So if you want to buy comic books, you still can. You can shop online for comics and have them shipped to you.
Nice. Oblivion Comics and Coffee. Come for the comics, stay for the coffee. I've been wanting to say that for a while. Also joining us back, Lexi. Lexi, we've missed you. How have you been? How's the life of Pi going over there for you?
Thank you. It's going. I've been surviving by doing some workouts, and I have been playing a few new games, which I'll just wait to hold for later. So yeah, just chilling, just trying to, as you said, keep healthy, taking precautions. I miss you guys though, so.
I know, I do miss seeing people, like just in general, just right there. I miss seeing people. I never thought, but I do. All right, let's get over to Emma. What's going on with you? Quarantine finally.
Nothing. I was like listening to you at the beginning, I was like, oh, does Lexi have some stuff going on? And then you said me. And I was like, oh.
No, it's 100% you.
I have stuff going on.
You're a whole new person. You bought game G Fuel energy drink?
I did.
You're
Shit's
good. You're a real gamer now? What
I never wanted to be this person, but it happened.
The same day Dr. Disrespect ends up leaving.
Hilarious.
Emma Skies joined. I know. Your favorite streamer ends up leaving the brand.
She didn't choose the G Fuel life. The G Fuel life chose her.
Why G Fuel? Like, what? You should be drinking coffee.
They're like a brand ambassador, but like I got free samples once and I was like, damn, this shit's, it actually works. So yeah.
Have you tried?
It's just, it's a good energy drink. Like, I don't really like energy drinks, but it's nice for streaming. So, you know, if I don't have anything, then I'm yawning 3 hours in. So it's just, it's, I don't know. It's an energy drink. I don't know what you want from me.
I just don't understand it. You've been so like anti that stuff. G Fuel just as a brand doesn't seem like, when I think G Fuel, what? I don't think Emma.
What have I ever been? I don't know what we're talking about.
You're like a water.
I feel like you make things up.
I don't know. It's just weird to see you drinking G Fuel. It doesn't seem natural.
I've also been drinking G Fuel for like months.
I don't know.
I feel like you're making up a lot of stuff that I have no part of.
Well, let us know in the comments down below. don't forget to rate and subscribe the podcast if you have a chance. We got a lot of news, like I said, to talk about. But one thing before we get into the new news, I wanted to get Emma's opinions on the Snyder Cut because we talked about it a while back ago. We were pretty negative, I believe, overall, but you are excited and I want to know why.
I want to see it. Wow. So here's the thing, because I was talking with some other people about this as well. And my thing isn't like, I don't think the Justice League is suddenly going to be an amazing movie.
Okay.
Like, I don't. I don't think it's going to be an amazing movie. I think it's going to be a different movie. And I'm here for that. But I don't think it's suddenly going to be like some cinematic masterpiece. And oh my God, we were robbed. No, I'm just really, I want to see what it was before they gave it to Joss Whedon. Because I feel like when you're watching, you can distinctly tell, you're like, oh, okay, this is a Zack Snyder. That's a Joss Whedon shot. That's a Joss Whedon joke. That's Joss Whedon dialogue. You can feel him in all of his parts. And like, if anything, we should all be excited to see Henry Cavill's real face.
Yeah,
that's a win right there. Because the reshoots and Joss Whedon's desire to reshoot the entire movie is why we have the CGI face. I don't know. I'm excited to see what it was before it was changed. And I actually, like, I don't have as many bad opinions about, like, Man of Steel especially, as a lot of people do. Aesthetically, I enjoy Man of Steel. I think it loses the fucking plot in the last act in the way a lot of action movies do, where you're just like, oh, suddenly everything in the world is destroyed. Cool, that's okay. We're just going to decimate this entire place and not talk about it again. I don't know. I'm excited to see it. I'm very excited. I think it was just really fucking shitty for Zack Snyder to get 90% of the way through a project, leave because of a death in his family. His daughter died, so he left the project to, you know, deal with grieving. And then everything he did was immediately overwritten by the guy they trusted to come in and finish it. And then they were just like, yeah, we're going to redo everything you did.
Well,
like, what the fuck?
I don't know. Who is it? On record from all parties saying that they just completely changed everything he did, or is that just Zack Snyder?
So Snyder has said that in the released version, you see, he says maybe like a quarter of what he did. You see maybe 25% of the movie he made. And between that, knowing the reshoot schedule and visually being able to see like what was clearly filmed later, which is a fuck ton. Yeah, there's a lot that changed.
But giving him $30 million more dollars to go through and cut it now that he has the power of hindsight, I don't think it's going to be purely the Snyder cut. I think if it's good, he's going to definitely like soak it up and overhype it. Yeah, this was my plan the entire time, but I really think this movie's still going to be trash, and it's already lost so much money. I think, and I kind of, in a sick part of me, hopes that they waste another $30 million on this thing. And
hilarious.
Let me just kind of continue. You missed my point last week about DC just being terrible at casting. Like when they cast Chuck to play Shazam, that was awful. And now
I think he actually was great.
You don't put Chuck as your main guy. Like that's just not what you do.
He's literally the main, he's Chuck. In what you're referencing, he's the main guy.
But that's TV. That's the small screen, you know?
That's what starts.
No, this is the big screen. You put your heavy hitters. You don't put this little guy in a big balloon suit.
Also, I'm pretty sure Shazam, other than Wonder Woman, might be the highest rated and reviewed DC film. So you're pretty alone on that.
I mean, I agree with Emma on that end. I agree that Shazam and Wonder Woman, they were casted really well. But I also agree with you, Corey, as far as like Marvel's casting. It was so well put. I feel like if DC took their time to find those actors, then it would have made it a better, like, a Marvel cinematic type universe for DC. So I agree on both ends.
I don't think that I would look at anyone in particular in the DC movies and say that they're miscast, with the possible exception of Ezra Miller as the Flash, because I love Ezra Miller. But again, like, there was no, he didn't really have a lot of screen time. There wasn't a lot of time to figure out if he was.
The Marvel Cinematic Universe casts perfectly. They look at the actor, not just like how good of an actor, if they can do the part, but they take into so many different variables. They looked at the same guy, Chuck, Zachary Levi, and they said,
he's a fantastic actor.
Yeah, okay, debatable. But they said, you should be one of the Warriors Three, and that's about all you're worth. And that was accurate. I think he was great in that part. But don't give him Shazam and put him on the poster.
Wait, like Zachary Levi?
No, he's fine.
Because he's a great actor. He's done TV. He's done Broadway. He's done film. He's a good actor. I don't know where you're coming from here.
Well, okay. We can agree to disagree on that. But come on. They just announced who they cast as Darkseid. And they cast a guy named Ray Porter.
I don't know who that is.
Exactly. Nobody knows who this guy is. You can't take your biggest bad, Darkseid, and make it a nobody throwaway garbage actor.
Did you know who Tom Holland was before Spider-Man?
Yeah, he was the little kid.
No, you didn't. Because I know your ass has never even heard of Billy Elliot.
But, okay, granted, on that point, Tom Holland is like the best Spider-Man. He is Spider-Man. When you read the comic books, you see this kid jumping around. Like, he is Spider-Man. He isn't the Spider-Man that we're used to watching.
Just because you've never heard of him doesn't mean he's bad.
This is the thing. They thoughtfully thought that out. They could have took Tobey Maguire or somebody else to be Spider-Man again, but they were like, no, we're going to think this out, find this young kid to play the actual part that the comic books portray so he can be on the big screen so we can see this throughout the whole universe.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that in a year or two, we're not going to be sitting here saying, holy shit, DC casting Ray Porter was the 900 IQ maneuver. It's better than Tom Holland's Spider-Man. It's just not going to happen.
That's not the point. The point is, just because you don't know the name doesn't mean they're a bad actor. If you want to give me a reason other than the fact that you've never heard of this person.
Okay, here I went through his IMDb. I did my research to see what could this guy possibly have done, where DC looked at it and said Darkseid. And he, on one episode of The Suite Life and Zack and Cody, he played a character named Derek.
Okay, so like 10 years ago?
He also, probably about 20 years ago, had a one episode stint on the show Frasier as a character named Dwayne. That's probably the highlights of his IMDb page. And they gave this guy Darkseid?
Looking at his audition? Are you looking at his audition right now?
You know what it is Zack Snyder got $30 million and he's putting it all into CGI mustaches and stuff. And he's like, I only got 10 bucks left. Who can I get? And someone said, oh man, my cousin's Ray Porter. He was on an episode of Suite Life of Zack and Cody and he really needs a job. And they hooked him up. Like that has to be the only explanation.
You know, what's sexier is how many times have we had the conversation as like a society and individuals, like just us, about like casting and doing things, and the first thing you say that you're not like, oh, okay, who's your dream cast for this iconic role? And you say, I don't know, like, I don't really want somebody noticeable. I want somebody unknown. Like, I kind of want somebody new. And then you get that, and then you bitch about not knowing.
I've never said that. First of all, I think you should only hire like Ryan Reynolds, Chris Evans, and Chris Hemsworth, Josh Brolin. Yeah, exactly.
Who was Chris Evans to you before Captain America? He was like, what, American Pie dude?
He was the Snowpiercer.
No, No, Snowpiercer was after Captain America.
He was Johnny Storm.
Oh yeah, exactly. He was Johnny Storm. Yeah. Ended up being.
I'm saying you're full of shit.
He wasn't Zack and Cody. He wasn't Derek from Zack and Cody, but you know he could only do so much.
If you have an actual thing to say against him,
Mr. Fantastic.
Mr.
Throwing it out.
I don't know. I think this is just a huge miss. Just a show that it's incompetence. This thing is not going to be good. It'll be 4 hours. And whether they put it in 6 1-hour episodes, 1 6-hour episode, 2 3-hour episodes, I don't care. The thing's not going to be good. And you have to have HBO Max anyways, which I guess we can get into as the first story because it's kind of, you know, the streaming wars are on. It's more important than ever with COVID. Disney Plus came out, you know, recently, and that was the last, I think, big launch, if you don't count Quibi, which
nobody cares about.
Does
Wait a minute, did you not want to mention that Ray Porter's in BioShock 2?
What is he in BioShock 2? Is he a voice actor in that?
Yeah, of course he's a voice actor.
I don't know if he's doing mocap or something like that. Maybe he was a big daddy. I mean, sure, he's done things. You can look in there, but I'm not going to say that, oh, he was in BioShock? Oh, that's my dark side. They should have got some big, huge actor. Should have been Will Smith. Should have been, I don't know, who's a big blockbuster actor these days? That's who it should be. It needs to be a big name. This is your biggest bad guy. The biggest one. And that's another thing that's going to make it trash. You can't just throw Darkseid in this movie and expect it just to be good. Thanos was amazing because it had all this buildup and stuff. They're just repeating the same problems DC has had over and over again of just being late to the party. And
oh, yeah. No, I'm not denying that at all. I'm just getting on you for your Ray Porter not liking this guy because you don't know his name.
Watch him suck at this role, too. Like, maybe I'll eat my hat. Maybe he's going to be amazing, and I'll go back and I'll watch everything he's ever been in. And
maybe he's going to be garbage. Who knows?
But it's not looking good. It's not looking good.
Yeah, I don't like. I'm not excited because I think it's suddenly going to be a masterpiece of a movie. I think they rushed Justice League. Justice League should not have been coming out for another 8 to 10 years. Like they rushed to it because they were so desperate to get on Marvel's ass, which is exactly why they brought in Joss Whedon, because they're just like, we'll take anything Marvel doesn't want anymore. Which is why they now have James Gunn doing suit. Like the entire DC live action movie thing has just been taking Marvel sloppy seconds at this point, and it's to their own detriment. So I don't think it's suddenly going to be a good movie. I want to see what it was before Joss Whedon had his hands on it, because I can't stand the man.
Look at this. Chat is coming up with some gems right here. CDFJ says it should be Denzel Washington. Ruru2 has probably the best one right there with Mickey Rourke. Mickey Rourke would be perfect. I know he's not doing anything now. What's up? What's going on, DC? What's really going on behind the curtain?
And is this all... I assumed it was all stuff that was already shot, right? It just didn't make it into the movie.
I don't know.
Cuz it's not like it's not like they're casting and shooting new scenes. These are things that have already been shot. What's her face? Catherine Langford had a role in Endgame and they completely cut her out of the movie. Like she was in the movie and she didn't make it to the final cut. She's just not in there. So yeah. I assumed it's one of those things. Like he was supposed to be in it and then they just cut that character and he just wasn't.
Time will tell. But HBO Max, that's going to be where you can watch this thing. It's coming out. It didn't have the best launch. People are, for a variety of reasons. One, it's way too confusing.
I spent 20 minutes before we started this trying to figure out if I had HBO Max. I do.
Yeah, so it's $15 a month, which is probably... Is that the most expensive when it comes to all those streaming platforms? Isn't like Netflix 10?
It might be the most expensive just because it doesn't have tiers. Because I'm pretty sure there's more expensive tiers of Netflix than that. And I'm pretty sure there's more expensive tiers of Hulu than that. But they have different, like, here's ads or here's how many people can watch. But HBO Max just has, like, this is what it is, period.
So, yes. So it's a little intimidating out the gate. And then the upgrades are pretty confusing. Like Emma was mentioning, she has HBO through her provider. And the HBO Max team has made deals with certain ones to where if you pay for HBO, you get it for free, or not free. You're paying for it through your cable provider, but you at least have
it's included in your bill.
Yeah. But it varies from like household to household. So you need to check and do your research, and it's not necessarily clear. Other than that, another thing is it's not available on Roku or Fire TV yet. So a lot of people don't even have access to it on their computers or, on their TVs. And then from my perspective, that now how many properties of streaming platforms do these guys have now? They have HBO Go, HBO Now. Now there's HBO Max. Like, do you
need... I don't understand what the difference between any of them is.
That's what my problem is. I don't know. Can you only watch some on one and you have to, you know,
because my understanding was that HBO Go was just a straight up streamed version of HBO. So like if you had it, you could watch it on the go, and that was the whole thing. And then they came out with HBO Now. And HBO Now is supposed to be, okay, well, technically you can get HBO Go even if you don't have HBO through your provider, and you just get this, and that's what HBO Now is. I don't know what the fuck the difference is for HBO Max. You lost me here. I don't understand.
It's a huge amount of content, though, because you're getting basically everything that Comcast owns. So it's got Cartoon Network on it. It's got Turner Classic Movies.
Because it's Time Warner.
Oh, Time Warner, yes. You got the Looney Tunes has their own section. Sesame Street has their own section. And then a lot of anime, because it's got Crunchyroll. And Curtis, have you looked into...
Studio Ghibli!
Are you interested in HBO Now yet?
Max?
See, there's so many of them. HBO Max. Curtis, you jumping on this bandwagon?
Probably not. I still have HBO Go. And that's sufficient for whatever I want to see for HBO. I haven't been watching a lot of Korean dramas or anime lately. So don't need the Crunchyroll stuff. Not really interested in Cartoon Network. My kids like just watch YouTube. They don't even care about cartoons and all that stuff anymore. Not really. I'm not really interested in it at all. And I mean, I'm going to watch the Snyder Cut, of course, when it comes out. Just because I have to talk about it. I'm not really looking forward to it, but I don't really have any reasons to get it. No, like anything that I want to watch on HBO, it's already taken care of on HBO Go.
And it seems like that's another thing they're taking a hit for is the lack of original content. Like when Disney Plus came out, they're, you know, making
Mandalorian.
More Mandalorian, which was a huge reason to get on there, and everyone did, and it was, you know, big. This one, there's, I guess, an Anna Kendrick movie that's not doing too well.
The TV show.
Oh, it's a TV show?
Yeah.
Yeah, something with her.
Which, the only review I've seen for it says that she is ridiculously underutilized. And seeing her in this show, I gotta wonder, what the fuck is her agent doing? Because she's in a really weird Quibi show, too.
Wow, yeah. Quibi.
She's in a Quibi show about taking a road trip with her boyfriend's sex doll who talks to her.
What?
I don't know what her agent is doing to her. I don't know who she pissed off.
Wait, what?
I keep seeing ads for it. I'm like, what are you doing?
Well, that's actually, didn't she do an original for Disney Plus too? The
Disney movie. Yeah, she did a Christmas movie, Noelle, yeah. Which was also apparently pretty bad.
So she's just cashing in right now. She's not.
I don't know what she's doing, but.
We talked about it for a second, but Quibi, I don't fully understand even what it is at this point, but I just know that their marketing budget is out of this world because I've seen commercials for it.
Fucking ridiculous.
First of all, how is this thing still around? And second, has anybody watched anything on Quibi or have interest in anything on Quibi?
I've only seen Liza Koshy's little show, her dancing show. But the only reason I saw it is because she put it on her Instagram stories. So I have not got the Quibi app. She put the first show like for free on her Insta stories. And that's the only reason I've seen like an episode. Other than that, like, what's the use of me getting Quibi? I have no idea.
But their budget is crazy because they have, like, massive fucking stars on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's partially owned by somebody who used to work with Disney. Like, it's owned by some fucking billionaire, which is why it's everywhere. But it has not been a great return on investment so far.
Another follow-up to a story we did last time was the Batwoman story with Ruby Rose quitting the series after just one season. Before, you know, we speculated to the best we could of what we thought it could have been. Kurt had some really good ideas if you go back and listen to that episode. But it turns out there's some whistleblowers on the inside that say there's a little more to the story. A new report sheds some light on why Rose quit the show. Multiple sources told Variety that Rose was unhappy with the long hours required as the series lead, which led to a lot of friction on set. Some people speculated it had to do with her injury, which we also touched on, but apparently the sources say the decision to leave was unrelated to health or injury.
If that's true, and it's just like that it turned out to be a lot of work that she wasn't expecting, that's fucking shitty. You're a series lead. Of course it's a lot of work.
That's what I'm saying.
How did you not expect this? I don't understand. Like, I really hope that's not it. But, like, if it is, what the fuck?
Curtis, how do you think that changes or fits into, you know, kind of some of the thoughts you had last week?
I mean, that doesn't help her. That's the case because, you know, if she's looking to up her profile, you know, by getting on another show or, you know, becoming a lead actress in anything, you know, if she gets her acting chops up and wants to get another lead role, there's not gonna be, I mean, I guess there's roles that definitely can demand less of you, but if you're doing TV, it's gonna be long hours. If you're doing movies, it's gonna be long hours. I mean, her experience maybe with not having as long hours before was only because her role within whatever production she was a part of was a smaller role. So it just really doesn't help her profile because for the people that are investing that much money in you, if they're going to be paying you, you know, that much to be the lead, the last thing that they want to hear is that you don't even want to be there because you don't want to, you know, work that hard. And people think acting, some people may think that acting is just a cake job. Like even the easier of acting jobs can be pretty rough because it is long hours. Like I've been down there. I see how early you have to get up and how long sometimes you have to be on your feet. Yeah, you get a trailer and all that other stuff, but you don't get that all the time. And when it's time to shoot, be there for 14, sometimes 16 hours. Like it's really, really long. So, you know, unless she only wants to be, you know, a co-starring character with diminished roles, she better get used to these long hours if she wants the big money.
Last time I got this vibe off of someone was, it was a trash franchise anyways, but the X-Men movies, when the dude who played Nightcrawler ended up like walking away from the role because it took too long to put his makeup on or something.
Oh my God.
I don't know if that one was actually confirmed or true, but I could have swore I was reading reports back then that was like, oh man, it took so long to put the makeup on. It was annoying. I don't want to do this anymore. And that's why he walked away.
Yeah, because he had to be there earlier because his makeup was kind of similar to Jennifer Lawrence. Like, their makeup was so extensive that they had to be there much earlier than everybody else. And I'm like, so did the makeup artists. Like, they had to be there earlier, too. And they have to be there to take it off of you. Like, because all that stuff just doesn't, you know, it just doesn't cut. You don't just wash it off. Like, you got to get the product and all that to take it off. So, I guess.
Looks like the great overlord of digital retail, Amazon, launched their first major title video game, and it is a major flop, says the
business insider.
Nobody
knows about it.
That's true, and it's bizarre to me, because I remember 2 days ahead of the game's launch, really thinking, like, all right, I remember having meetings at work. We were like, okay, guys, keep your eyes out because Amazon, Big Daddy Twitch himself, is going to be dropping a game. And you know everyone's going to be streaming it the first 48 hours. And it's supposed to be like a shooter, MOBA, Battle Royale. Like it's supposed to be a mix of all these things. And it's Amazon. And they put so much money into this. It's got to be good. The game is called Crucible. And it was a giant flop. The game came out. And as of May 21st, at its peak had 25,000 concurrent players, and just like 2 days later, it had dropped down to it left Steam's top 100 games completely, and the peak viewer or peak gaming concurrent players was about 5,000. And then it's even worse on Twitch itself. It had less than 1,000 viewers. across the last few days of tracking. And that's not per day. That's total viewership, as told by the metrics collectors at ThinkNum. So this game...
So in short, nobody cared.
Someone's got to get fired over this, right? That people are comparing it to Battleborn. That's what Jay in chat also mentioned, because it had all this kind of hype to it. It had, you know, bright, colorful characters. They're just taking a lot of the buzzwords from the biggest games and mashing them up. And then it's powered by Amazon, Twitch themselves. You would think they would have put up a better fight than this, but absolutely not. Have you guys even heard of this game?
Nope.
No.
As soon as you said Crucible, I thought we were talking about the Destiny thing.
Oh, yeah. See, that's...
That's the multiplayer in Destiny?
Yeah. It's what it was. Super huge bummer. I watched some videos on it. It's got a steep, very, very steep learning curve, which I think might have been one of the things hindering it. Because it does have aspects of MOBAs like League of Legends through it where you got to go farm... NPC, you know, just random AI generated characters to level up, and then you do these capture points things, and it's third person, like more like a Fortnite shooter, but just for whatever reason did not put the pieces together. And then just your Twitch, how could you fail? I just don't get it. Next news story, I thought we should cover real quick just because it's, I have to tell everybody because I'd be doing you a crime if I was not. We've been talking about it the last few weeks. The Epic Game Store has upped the ante in their game giveaways. They did GTA 5 2 weeks ago. Last week, a full price game, and Civilization 6 was free. And then this week, it's the Borderlands Handsome Jack Collection. And it's right there. You go there, homepage, even if you don't download it, there's no excuse not to get this game. It's a $60 game. You get the license. I don't have room on my PC. You just get the license. If you decide to play it later, you can play it later. It comes with Borderlands 2 and Borderlands the pre-sequel and basically all the DLC packs for both games. It's a lot of fun, multiplayer. Like, why are you not doing this yet? Emma... You said you're not into Borderlands, but it's free. Why wouldn't you get this?
Because I don't need it.
But it's free.
But I don't need, that's a hoarder mentality.
Okay.
I don't need it.
It's not a hoarder mentality because it doesn't take up space anywhere.
I don't need it.
It's free.
But I don't need it.
Did I mention free?
But did I mention that I don't need it? Delete the thing. You still have the game. Like, it's.
I also already have the games on my Xbox.
But what if you don't play them there either?
It's called redundancy.
That's not a good thing.
Curtis, Lexi, please, guys, it's free.
If you see anything that says free, you better get it.
That's what I'm saying. Lexi goes to the library to get games for free. She knows how to.
They're free.
She knows how to ball on a budget. And if
$99 game, for 3 weeks, and then you can re-rent them. Come on, people!
How is everybody not just going to their local library right now and getting all the free games?
I mean, to be fair, like that's how I played games in college. I rented games from my university library.
Exactly. I don't know why people don't do that.
I don't think anybody knows. People do not know how much shit you can get at the library. People have no idea.
Yeah, you could get a lot.
So if Borderlands isn't your thing, there's another free game out there. It's not as well advertised, so this is like a little insider pro tip for my people who love free stuff. But there's a game called Sludge Life. It's also free. It's a $14, I believe, indie title. And I just downloaded it. I mean, grab the license because it's free. Because... That's what you do when they're giving you free games. But the tagline of it was experience the thrills of vandalism from the safety of your computer.
Hilarious.
So, yeah. So if you guys are interested in free games, get it. The next one, BlizzCon officially canceled as told by The Verge. I saw some tweets.
Have shocked anybody.
Yet it does every time.
Every time. I was like, are you really surprised by this? What is wrong with you?
I was a little surprised that they didn't come, like, why they would cancel it. So, I guess this is still considered early, right? Because doesn't
it? It's like 6 months out.
Yeah, it's still 6 months out. I would just delay the announcement and also hit everyone with what your actual plans are. I don't know why they would just come out and say no, because as of right now, they're not even going to have like a digital experience.
But, no, they said they'll be doing something online in early 2021.
Yeah, so I don't know what.
Nah, it's good though, because like everything else has been waiting way too fucking long to announce. So giving 6 months notice to people that are going to be like you're gonna head people off at the pass who would have booked hotels or have already booked hotels and now get to cancel them, or would have booked flights and now get to cancel their flights. Like, it takes a lot to like not go to a thing that you've been planning to go to.
Oh, I know.
So, like, fucking thank you, Blizzard, for giving people 6 months heads up, as opposed to some of these conventions that were giving, like, weeks of notice in the beginning.
That's true. And some of the worst offenders of that was, like, the Comic-Con people. I feel like they waited way
They longer. Waited until, like, 3 weeks before WonderCon to be like, oh, yeah, we're not going to do this.
Yeah. I don't know, but I just want to see more comprehensive of, like, get our beak wet with something else then. Tell us what you are going to do rather than just kind of dropping the hammer when you're this ahead of the game.
Or even just, like, even if it's just not even telling people what they're going to do, but you're going to do something. Like, we will be doing something that week. We'll let you know more when we can. But basically what they left it at was online early 2021.
Yeah. Big bummer. I think it's the part for me is I still haven't been to one. I want to. And then obviously for us, the Overwatch World Cup, will, I guess at the very best be an online format like the rest of the Overwatch League.
Mm-hmm.
The next news story we have here going from, we talked about Borderlands a little bit before, but they're going to be making a Borderlands movie and they have announced their first major casting. Of Kate Blanchett is going to
be... Hell yeah. I don't know who she's playing. I don't know what it is. I've never played Borderlands in my life. I'm very excited. I'll watch anything with this woman.
How old is she, though? I feel like she's too old.
Doesn't matter.
Corey, this is your
Iron Man. You want her in this movie, Corey. You want her in this movie.
I do. Oh, she was great in Thor Ragnarok. So, I mean... That.
You have the entirety of Kate Blanchett's iconic list of Emma, but Thor Ragnarok. Emma, oh my god, fuck you.
Give him credit. At least he knew. Give him credit now.
Who did she play in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody? That's what matters to me.
Well, I'm done.
I don't really know what else she's done. I'm sorry. What else has she done that I should be should I
Oh
know
my
about?
God. Oh my god. Oh my god.
I mean, don't make me IMDb her. You could just tell me.
I know. See, I'm going to pull up her IMDb just so I can list how, and then you just tell me when to stop. Okay.
Because she's active in, yeah.
She has been in everything. This is an Oscar winner.
And she's going to be okay. In a Borderlands movie? Interesting.
Yes. Lord of the Rings, Elizabeth I, Carol, Blue Jasmine, Mrs. America. She's done The Simpsons. Maybe you know that. Maybe. Cinderella, Knight of Cups, The Hobbit, How to Train Your Dragon, The Monuments Men, Making a Scene, Blue Jasmine, The Turing, Hannah, Robin Hood, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Ponyo, Indiana Jones, I'm Not There, Hot Fuzz, Notes on a Scandal, The Good German, Babel, Little Fish, The Aviator, Life Aquatic, Lord of the Rings, The Missing, Coffee and Cigarettes. Like, how? What is wrong with you?
Of those movies you mentioned, I've seen two of them.
There's no way.
And I don't think she was totally memorable in either of them.
You're a monster. No, you don't get to. Oh my God. Don't. No. You're done. You're done. You're done.
Movie he hasn't seen.
Not memorable. Fuck off.
Curtis, what do you think of Kate Blanchett? Should I be excited about this? Because I do. I am excited about a Borderlands movie.
She is nothing short of stunning and amazing in everything that she does. She's probably one of the most captivating actresses, like, working.
He gets
possibly
it.
Ever, but definitely today.
He gets it.
All right. That's all I needed to hear. That's all I needed to hear. According to The Hollywood Reporter, Kate Blanchett, who was, of course, as I mentioned, in Thor Ragnarok.
I hate you.
Also in The Suite Life of Zack and Cody. She will be playing the main, like one of the main characters, one of the main four characters, Lilith, the Siren, in the movie. They haven't announced anybody else, but
that's perfect because I would honestly drown myself for that woman.
What?
So Siren, perfect casting.
Jeez. Good Lord.
Good. That's good casting right there.
If you guys haven't played the game, I guess it would be unfair to ask you guys to fantasy cast the rest of them. But if by any chance anybody who is the casting director is listening to the show, I got some suggestions for you.
They're not listening.
The character Brick, easily Dave Bautista. Hire that man. You should hire Chadwick Boseman as Roland would be my pick. I think Ashley Burch should play her own character, Tiny Tina. And for the character of Claptrap, I have Ryan Reynolds right here.
Corey has the whole...
I will be so mad if Ryan Reynolds gets fucking cast as Claptrap because holy shit, can we stop casting this guy as just like... He's just typecast as the sassy, funny guy now. No, we're done. We're done. We have moved... We have, as society, moved beyond Ryan Reynolds as the sassy asshole. We're done.
That's exactly why I gave it to him.
That is the lamest, most boring casting.
I've given up on it, pretty much. Like, when he was cast as Pikachu, I was just like, all right, fuck it. Anything that ever needs anything, we're just going to say is Ryan Reynolds. So, no. Good luck, sir. There's your new Claptrap. Check out the movie, 2022. That's not official. Don't listen to me. I don't know when this thing's coming out. But Cate Blanchett. The next story we got here, Arcane Studios documentary now out. So NoClip Studios released the untold history of Arcane this week on YouTube, detailing the company's 20-year history in the industry.
I'm excited.
Explain it. Why should we be excited?
I don't give a shit if you're excited. I'm excited. It's just so that it covers everything back from their first game in 1999. So they had Arx Fatalis, they had a second game that they put out, and then they had three pretty big canceled projects. And for like a decade, that was it. Like, they had a couple little small games, they had a bunch of canceled projects, and that was it. And then Dishonored came out. And then so they had Dishonored, Dishonored 2, all the DLC that came with that. They had Prey. Like, they've just been fucking killing it for the last few years. So this just kind of goes into everything about the company, everything about them, everything they've made. But what's really cool is that I didn't know that they had been making a Half-Life game. No. So one of their canceled projects was a Half-Life game, not like an offshoot, not a fan game, not, you know, something in the, you know, like it was an actual a Half-Life game, and it was based on the Ravenholm part of Half-Life 2.
And how, have you watched this yet? Or
I haven't yet. I'm going to watch it on Sunday.
I think if they go into detail on that would be worth the watch right there. Did they produce this about themselves, or was this produced about
them? No, so NoClip Studios, from what I can tell, is they do like crowdfunded documentaries on video games. Okay. So this isn't like funded by Arcane or Bethesda. This wasn't put on by them, but they did have a big part of it because they obviously are the subject matter and they talked to a lot of people in the company. But yeah, this is totally fan funded or crowdfunded.
And then as a marketing stunt, they've also made one of their first games free to play, or is this unrelated?
Yeah, so this is unrelated to the completely unrelated to the thing, but it's, I guess they're kind of doing like a throwback because it's their 20-year anniversary of the company and like around the time of E3. But yeah, if you join their like Arcane Outsiders, you know, whatever, then you can get a free copy of the very first game they ever made called Arx Fatalis. So I'm going to check that out. And then you also get the digital art book for Dishonored 2 and Prey, which is fucking gorgeous.
And is it hard to... How do you redeem this free game? Because didn't you say there's like
some hoops you got to jump through? I don't know. I spent so long trying to log into my account, and then I finally got in, and I got the art book, but I can't figure out how to get the game. I'm working on it.
I think you just got jabated. we haven't done this in a while, but I'm going to kick it on over to Curtis so we can do a little bit of Curtis's comic book corner, since now Oblivion Comics and Coffee is back up and you can go on the website and order your comics. What have you been reading? What are your picks for this week?
I only have one because still I'm mostly only focused on Marvel right now, but I'm going to try to start looking over at some more DC because it's coming along. But Marauders issue number 10, although it was a book that, you know, that came out of Dawn of X for from the whole House of X and Powers of 10 thing that Corey and I were following along with. It it was a book that kind of started falling by the wayside and I wasn't so interested in it anymore. But being that it was the first new X-Men book that we have after comics had kind of been shut down for a while and weren't shipping, turned out to be a pretty interesting story. It's a big talk right now, and I don't think that it's so controversial per se, but Emma Frost is being very Emma Frosty in this episode, or excuse me, in this issue. So that's got a lot of people talking. If anybody, I'm not going to spoil what that was, but you can either go online or better yet, you can, if you're in the Sacramento area, you can go online and order it, or you can do curbside pickup, or you can have it shipped to you too. Cause I had some of my comics shipped to me from Oblivion Comics and Coffee, and you can read it for yourself. But I will say that if you are an Emma Frost fan, you won't want to miss this one. I will say that. But the rest of the story is pretty interesting, dealing with some of the technology that Forge had made actually way back in the 80s continuity of X-Men. And it was mutant, you know, depowering technology or mutant power dampening tech. Since mutants can't die right now, that's kind of the only thing that you really can do to them, I guess. And that's coming back around. And they, I will spoil this for anybody who was interested or, you know, or who was following along, or even if you weren't, it's a reason to go pick it up. Kitty, or Kate, I guess she's called Kate now, Kate Pryde had died. But for whatever reason, since she couldn't go through the portals to get onto the island, and she couldn't be resurrected. Not only that, they tried to do the resurrection process to her, and for whatever reason, they're not able to resurrect her through it. So that's kind of still the biggest caper. Like, she got killed and they aren't able to bring her back and they can't figure out why they can't. So that's another thing that there's some interesting speculation on. But overall, if you like Emma Frost, if you like incredible art and with amazing colors, Stefano Caselli, Federico Blee did a great job. I would say pick up Marauders number 10. And if you're in the local area, go online or give a call if you're not sure the best way to order the comics and get your curbside pickup so you can read it.
And Lexi, kicking it on over to you because there is some for the League of Legends listeners, which has grown in droves since you've joined our show. All we get is League of Legends fans now. They need a little the updates because I guess there were some big patches that came out recently. What's new?
Yeah, so 10.11 patch came out, and basically they buffed Fiddlesticks, Gangplank, Hecarim, Kai'Sa, and Lux. And then they nerfed Graves, Janna, Syndra, and Talon, which I think everybody would appreciate because Talon is just too much right now, and so is Syndra. And then they added some new skins. So we already had like Astro Nautilus, but they added Astronaut Poppy, Astronaut Gnar, and Astronaut Bard. And they're also coming out with Chromas, so the different colors that you can change your skin for Astronaut Nautilus.
So excited about that. Is this buff for Fiddlesticks part of the rework? Or did they already... Because that was the only character I was invested in with the League of Legends. Actually, there's two. Fiddlesticks and Vi. Those were the two I would play. And then... I would always be told, like, every time I picked Fiddlesticks, people would complain because I guess he was bad. And then I saw they reworked him. They changed his character model and everything.
Fiddlesticks is freaking scary now. Like, even before, like, the rework and before they launched it, they had, like, little hints in the game. And, like, you could see him running across, like, a spider-looking thing. It was pretty scary. Like, I didn't even know it was in the game. And one day I just saw it and it freaked me out. I was like, what the heck is that? You know. But yeah, he's pretty scary right now. No, this is like separate from the rework. This is like a standard like buff and nerf patch. Okay. So like patch they come out with like nerfs or buffs. So yeah, this is separate from this. I'm pretty excited. I don't play any of the characters that got nerfed or buffed, but I'm excited for the nerfs for sure, because there's been people traveling in my lane and bot lane playing Syndra, either ADC or support, and I've been hating it. Or either playing Talon in bot lane, like, stay in mid lane. Don't play with me. Like, oh, yeah.
The next, just another little note while we're kind of talking about big games currently is Valorant is officially ending its beta process and going to be going to full launch. I think they're going to be dropping like a new character and stuff. It's kind of unrelated, but I will make the official announcement here on the podcast. I am retiring from professional Valorant play. I ran through and did my placements for competitive. So I'm getting more gaming time back, which is kind of cool. As you guys know, I had a baby, and time away, you know, from the baby on the computer was spent like mainly just working. But I slipped in some ranked games, started playing Valorant, and my placement ended up being Iron 3, which I'm pretty sure is the drop dead lowest placement you could have in the game. And
proud
I just
of you.
Wait, why are you proud of me?
Yeah, just proud of you.
For being trash at this game,
You know what, but you put yourself out there, all right?
Exactly.
You tried your absolute best.
Right, you can rank it
up at the bottom, but I'm proud of you.
Don't give up now. There's trolls out there that are waiting for you to get on to play.
I just couldn't justify like trying to grind up the ranks. And there's only three maps. Like, it's pretty repetitive at this point for me. And then just once you get hit with the cold reality of being that bad at a game, I just, like, I'm embarrassed. I can't believe I even, like, talked about this on the show, because everybody knows me as such an alpha gamer. And the fact that I placed Bronze 3, or not even Bronze 3, Iron 3, I didn't even actually go through to learn if it was the lowest of the lowest ranked. In League, you're always talking about, like, Bronze 1, Bronze 2, 3. Which one's higher? Is it better to be like
an Iron's the lowest you get. Then it's Bronze, then it's Silver, then it's Gold, then it's Plat.
But is Iron 1 better than Iron 3?
Yes.
Oh, then I really screwed the pooch. I'm the worst player.
No. But see, this is the thing. I knew someone, if they have the same mechanics, because a lot of people were complaining about this, they had the same like rank system as League. Like, this one guy, he was like Diamond last season, but he did his promos for League and got like Iron 2. So it's okay, because if you lost like all your promos, or even if you won one or lost like most of them, it's okay, because they're going to weed out all those people, and your LP boost will be bigger if you do win your game from now on. So, like, say for instance, you get back on and you play a game and rank, and you'll have like 30 or 40 LP. Unless you just really suck, then you might get 19. I don't know. So, I won't give up, because like, promos is just promos. Like, you could be the best player and still end up like an Iron.
I think I just know my place in the world. I'm an Overwatch player. I don't have the aiming mechanics. I'm more about positioning and awareness and things like that. So I'm on the cusp of Diamond. So I'm just going to go back, play my little Overwatch, and pretend like Valorant doesn't exist. If you're good at Valorant, though, you might want to be interested in a huge tournament that's coming out to celebrate the launch. They're going to team with a bunch of FPS creators and do like a giant tournament to crown one winning champion for up to $200,000 in prize pools. So you can check out Play Valorant on Twitter if you want to learn more about that. It's a fun game. I'm giving it a hard time, but I'm probably not going to be playing it too much more, because I just don't like being bad at things. Speaking of being bad at things, he's not bad at anything. Curtis, what you been working on? Where can people get some more Skip and Tosh content when they're not listening to you here on the Video Game Bang?
Check me out on twitch.tv/SKIPNTOSH. I've been going through Jonathan Hickman's Marvel readings. I got only one volume left of Secret Warriors, which was the first main thing that he wrote, which is really cool because that's when Nick Fury, actually, that's where they got the whole S.H.I.E.L.D. had been infiltrated by Hydra the whole time. It originated with that. So you can tell the Russo brothers who directed Captain America Winter Soldier, they love Hickman stuff because, like I said they would only come back to direct a movie if it was Secret Wars, and that was Jonathan Hickman's Secret Wars. But so I've been reading that. Check me out there, and you can check me out on the Thinking Critical channel as well. I bought the Fantastic Four DLC for Marvel Ultimate Alliance 3, so I'm going to get started on that over there very soon.
And Lexi, I mean, you got into the streaming game. It was a flicker of brilliance, and then it went away. When are you bringing the streams back?
So actually this weekend we have a Clash tournament on Saturday, so I probably will stream like before that because I don't want my computer to crash like during the tournament. So it would be probably like mid-afternoon-ish Saturday, maybe an hour or two.
And what are the details on this tournament? What are you playing for?
So with League, they have these random pop-up tournaments that they've been integrating into the system. Basically, you play for like honors and banners and cool loot. So you've gotten the top two of the five teams. So you go through five rounds. So we've gotten in the top two every time, hoping to get that first place one of these times because you can customize your team. Like you can create your own team. So hoping to do that. But you can find me on Twitch at xspacemintyx and, of course, on Twitter at LexiJPR.
Emma Skies, man, she hasn't streamed in like a week. I don't know if your fan base is even going to recognize you anymore, that you're all hyped up on G Fuel. on your social media, that, she's just
so weird. Like, you'll latch on to the weirdest things. Like,
you're like a whole new person to me.
For, like, months. The hike, where you've been.
You're always like hiking the wilderness now. You're always you got rollerblades. You're a rollerblader. I can't keep up with you.
I don't have rollerblades.
Of all the people in quarantine, you've probably changed the most, I think, from when quarantine started to today.
Doing
a whole nother person. When are you coming back to the streaming? And actually, even if you don't have stream updates, talk about, you've been doing these community nights where people can watch movies and stuff. You got a lot going on.
So if I'm not on stream tomorrow, I may or may not be. I will definitely be back on Monday for my usual Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday streams at 4 p.m. And every Sunday, we've been doing sub movie nights. So subscribers on Twitch can come in and watch movies on Discord. So I'm going to do, I think the one we're going to do this week is going to be that Arcane documentary, and I'm going to leave it open to everybody and not just subs. So if you want to join the Discord, you can come watch the movie with us on Sunday. It's going to be a good time.
All right. And you know, I'm not doing any streaming and stuff, but you can check out what I'm working on the SF Shock Twitter. My team just won the May Melee tournament. Overwatch League stepped up their game. It's really exciting times right now. They're bringing back the tournament format, which honestly should have never left. But the San Francisco Shock had an insane showing. A lot of people doubted them. For some reason, people keep doubting the champs. We came back. That's why my facial hair looks really scuffed right now. I don't know. When I get nervous, I was legitimately nervous because this entire season, the Shock's been doing well, but there's been no stakes. And I haven't been nervous since the grand finals. And just to help myself cope, I think, in the fact that I wanted to like make a crazy claim. Like, okay, if we win, I'll do this. I'll shave my beard to look like Lemmy from Motorhead. Not really wanting to do it, but kind of having that thing to where if they did lose, that would be the thing I could latch on to. Like, oh, fuck, I don't have to go kill myself now. Like, you know, there's this one thing, at least I don't have to shave my beard, you know, was going to be like the one thing keeping me going. Well, they ended up winning. I shaved and I actually hate it. Like, I've never, thank God we have quarantine. Thank goodness there's a quarantine going on right now because I would have to go out in public like this. But
I came in to the call and saw you and just said, what?
It's not ideal. It's not ideal. No, it's very not.
I commend you for sticking with it.
Yeah, but, well, I don't really have a choice at this point. I mean, I think I'm just going to kind of let the middle part grow back here. But You can check it out on my Twitter or Instagram if you want to see exactly how stupid I look. What's up, pizzas, across all the social media channels. Thank you to all the new viewers and listeners for the podcast. I mean, it's been kind of nuts just to see what's been going on, despite, you know, what we got. Maybe just people are listening to podcasts more. But if you're new, we have an entire 300-plus episodes you can go back in the archives and check out. You can do it on Spotify. We have our most of them on YouTube. They are everywhere podcasts are found, so we appreciate you. Big shout out to Twitch sub too that we had, Tamiko, good friend Aaron, 32 months in a row. That's the kind of stuff we love. I appreciate it so much. So much you could be spending your money on, and you do for us, so we love it. So thank you, thank you, thank you. For Curtis Fisher, Emma Skies, Lexi, my name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.